Another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I'm wondering what the hell I just watched.
You just watched the 2012 Royal Rumble.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Anyone was eligible.
Really? I noticed, like, all three announcers.
All three fucking announcers.
Yeah. Still good to be back. I'm doing a podcast where I'm allowed to say fuck, by the way.
Yes.
Yes. Anyways, let's talk this thing. Let's open up with the world title match, cage match, opening match, world title match, cage match.
So this match
was a cage match.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And really? For the world title.
Huh. Three-way.
That's right.
Yes. Correct. It was Daniel Bryan versus Big Show versus Mark Henry, which opened the show. Mark Henry injured. He has, what is it? It's his groin and his knee that's all fucked up. So he's was, I don't say he was useless in the match, but that was a reason that...
That would be every match he's in, usually.
He didn't do very much in terms of being involved in this. It was mostly a Daniel Bryan, Big Show kind of one-on-one with... There were some spots with Henry, but it was mostly a Bryan-Big Show match.
Pretty much. It was like a, what, maybe like a 10-minute match anyway? Like, it wasn't a long match.
If it went even 10 minutes. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know. It's, you know, 9 minutes and 8 seconds.
Apparently. 9 minutes and 8 seconds of non-stop action.
Non-stop pop. And
yeah.
Daniel Bryan gets the Duke, keeps the title. Final segment, or spot, rather, was really good with... basically, Bryan was doing the sort of the dangling leg spot outside the cage with Big Show on top of the cage. Big Show actually grabbed him, had him up by one arm, and Bryan dangling, finally was able to break the grip and fell down to the ground. And
yeah, the thing about this spot is we all know how strong Mark Henry is. I think sometimes he gets lost just how strong Big Show is.
Big Show.
Well, that's what I mean. In this spot, we saw just how strong he is, because he literally was just holding the guy. No effort like that.
Mark Henry also strong, though.
World's strongest.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, the thing that got me about this match is a couple things. Number one, that spot was actually kind of cool to see somebody win on that spot. You see the dangling leg spot in every single cage match.
Not that liver spot. Not that dog spot. But that spot.
That dangling liver spot. Wait, you see that dangling leg spot in every single match, and... you saw it this
we'll get
time,
to
but
the four horsemen.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, you didn't expect him to win there, so kind of all of a sudden he slips out of Big Show's grip and falls down and wins, and you're kind of a little anticlimactic for me. I thought so. I was wondering where the hell Mark Henry was, also for like the last 5-6 minutes of this or whatever. I don't remember what spot took him out.
I don't remember the building well. It was just kind of like, oh, he's dangling. They tend to do that dangling spot about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through a match normally, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden there it was, that was it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But you did make right as he came out to open, Daniel Bryan was the first guy out in the ring, and you made a comparison to me that I thought was just awesome. And what was that?
Well, I've been watching and in the angle leading up with the AJ thing and the Big Show and the Big Show being hurt and just Daniel Bryan himself. Daniel Bryan himself with just this character that he's got, to me, is Owen Hart. It just, you know, he's obviously less charismatic than Owen Hart. You know, I'm thinking, like, Owen Hart would do this better than Daniel Bryan, but I'm enjoying Daniel Bryan doing it, but this Daniel Bryan's character and this angle to me is just, it's tailor-made for Owen Hart. Every time he does something or says things like, you know, you big oaf giant. Like every time he says stuff like that, or when he, at the end, when he won the title and he's sitting there with his knees and at the end he's like, yes, 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 yeah, And I'm like, that's Owen Hart, right?
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Like, that's Owen.
And so as soon as you pointed that out to me, I kind of watched the match a little differently, because the whole match I'm watching going, he is doing Owen Hart. He is. I don't know if it's on purpose or it's just a coincidence, but he is doing Owen Hart's character. And you know what? He is doing it well. Like you say, he's maybe not quite as charismatic as Owen. Or actually, I wouldn't even say he's not quite as charismatic. I think he probably is. I think he's probably not quite as funny. Not quite as entertaining.
It's a little different.
That's all. But it's the same type of character.
It is.
And I think that's cool.
Daniel Bryan also, not a nugget.
Yet. Okay, let's move on to the second match.
It wasn't a second match, just one of the greatest matches of all time when Beth Phoenix, Natalya, and the Bella Twins took on Kelly Kelly, Eve, and Alicia Fox, how could I forget Tamina?
And let's move on to the third match.
Well, before the third match, because realistically, who gives Team Phoenix wins and who gives a fuck? Before the third
Team
match,
Phoenix did.
Couple of things. Zack Ryder gets wheeled in there wearing some sort of back brace, I guess. I don't.
Well, his back is broken, so that's what you do. What you do when your back is broken and you're in a wheelchair. What you do is you put a little brace over you, and you're good to go.
You are.
You get out of the hospital for that. You get out of here. No problem. He was there to watch his friend John Cena kick Kane's ass.
Yes, I hope.
And Eve was there to act horribly.
See, now I've got the WrestleMania. We're talking about this is the road to WrestleMania is beginning because the Royal Rumble is now in the books. Well, the road to WrestleMania for Zack Ryder is pretty much set in stone, I feel now, because he is the man with the back brace, who should be going one-on-one at WrestleMania with D'Lo Brown and the chest protector.
Absolutely. And then when he has his back broken, there will be an explanation for it.
Yes, and his liver will quiver. But,
obviously, I mean, at Mania, you're going to see Zach against Kane.
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't. They've ruined his character. He's getting booed as soon as he showed up on the screen. Zach, who just a month ago, 6 weeks ago, was getting these huge pops backstage.
Yeah.
As soon as he showed up, the fans started booing because they've ruined his character. They're such idiots.
They haven't ruined it. They're going to completely ruin it. It's not hopeless at this point, but the fact that they're not very good at what they do means that it's
they're not the best in the world?
They are not the best in the world at what they do, but they are going to continue to erode his character. And it's too bad because... I mean, realistically, they never had anything to do with it.
That's true, exactly. You know? And by the time you get to Mania and it's him against Kane, no momentum for either guy, especially Ryder.
Yeah, but you talk about him against Kane and ruining the character. I mean, we did make the point, and let's get this out before we get to the match, because there's a couple things, actually, even before the match. But we did make the point that Zack Ryder at last year's Royal Rumble was doing what?
Nothing.
Right. And so now at least, he's getting a payday, he's involved with, and then, whether, love him, hate him, be indifferent to him, but, I mean, Kane the Big Red Retard has been around for, whatever it's been now, close to 15 years, right?
Kane's a big John Cena fan?
He is.
A red one?
He is a red John Cena fan. Born with a John Cena fan, as it were. But 15 years, 1997 he debuted, so... in terms of just being Kane, not even talking about Isaac Yankem, DDS, or Diesel, or the Christmas Creature. But...
Christmas Creature.
So at least...
I hate Christmas. Go on.
I know. But at least Ryder's doing something, is the point, right?
And
you could argue something major, like it or hate it as we hate it, and as stupid as it is. And, I mean, it's going to lead him... not so much to anything good, but it's better than where he was.
Okay, I see your point, and I don't 100% disagree with it, but I'm going to counter it with this, Addy.
After counter.
And you'll counter me after.
Okay.
See, that's how it works.
I don't swing that way.
No, I think you do. But anyways, what we're going to do here is we're gonna have a little debate. What we're going to do is we're going to have a little debate, because I'm going to tell you this. We're talking about how he is on camera, and that is good, and that's better than he was a year ago. But the point is, the character, the way he was being built up, should have been on camera this year regardless, and in a good feud and getting good crowd reaction and selling merchandise. and he should have continued to be good, and the character should have continued to evolve over the next 2 or 3 years and move up the card. And it's a character that now is probably going to have a shelf life of less than a year before people are sick of it and have turned on it. Instead, it should have been a character that could have been popular, an upper mid-card character for probably 5 to 7 years. And because they don't know what the fuck they're doing, instead it's going this other direction.
Yeah. So where's the debate?
Well, you said he's better off, and I'm saying...
He
is better off, but he isn't.
Well, he's short-term better off.
He's short-term better off, but he's long-term worse off than where he should have been.
See, and that's kind of the argument, is that if he doesn't do the show, right, if he doesn't, you know, isn't do the true Long Island story, and
now
that's
part
what I'm saying,
right? YouTube channel,
yes.
Along with Are You Serious?
Are You Serious?
I'm guessing it's two shows.
Unless, again, Yahoo Serious involved.
That would rule.
What?
And Yakov Smirnoff.
Yes. Well, in Russia.
YouTube watches you.
Okay, <yeah. laughs> I was going to say WWE tubes you, but okay. No, but I mean, Zack Ryder doing that gets himself a push, gets himself to where he is now, right?
Yeah.
You say longevity in that character, well, until he brings that character out, this is where he is. And I mean, this is what he wanted, though. I mean, you don't do this to have, you know, to steadily grow over the next 5 years. Zack Ryder doesn't want a main event WrestleMania 35. Zack Ryder wants the main event WrestleMania 30.
Well, there's that's true.
Right, and so that's the thing when we're talking about longevity, and I understand your point, and you're right from a perspective of if they had slowly built him up, blah blah blah, but they don't slowly do anything. So this is as slow as they go. I mean, hell, as slow as they go was waiting whatever it was 3-4 months to give Zack Ryder the U.S. title, of course to blow it off in 3 weeks, but that's long term for them.
That's true. But so, the other thing is that. I don't know if they're doing this on purpose because they didn't create the character, or if they're doing this because they didn't create the character so they just don't understand it, and that's why they're ruining it. I kind of go back and forth. I have no idea, because the character seems really easy even if you didn't create it.
Well, the character is based after your mom.
Easy?
Yeah.
Like a Sunday morning?
Let's go to my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
There have been two parts here where the WrestleMania... hype videos, I believe. Were they not? No.
They are. Well, basically what there are is little character biographies on Cena and The Rock. But of course these two got it because they're in the middle of the main event, the biggest WrestleMania main event in history, right?
They really, of all time.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, I mean, the video was... you know, a good 24/7 type, you know, HBO special promo video of John Cena hyping up Cena as an individual, basically, right? I don't even say the character so much, but they were trying to portray, it was as close to...
They try and blur the lines between the character and the real person for Cena, and they all have a long time.
It's the doctor of thugonomics as a person, or whatever it is, whatever you want to say, Mr. Rise Above the John Cena character as a person. This is him.
Yes.
Right? This isn't, you know, John Cena go home, you know, real John Cena person, but...
it had his dad there.
It's similar to, and then later on in the show, they did the same thing with Dwayne Johnson, going back to his high school. And
the difference is the Dwayne Johnson one worked. I remember the John Cena one, it actually was really well done.
Yeah.
But as I'm watching it, I'm going, this makes me hate him more. And this is going to make people hate him more. And as soon as it was over, people were booing.
Nah.
People were cheering. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, well, of course. But those same people booed Cena when he come out. Those, when you say it's going to make them hate, it made you hate them more. It made you hate him more. Yes, it did.
But what was the purpose of it? To make me like him?
Oh. I don't think you can... And then they're not looking at it this way, is that that video, okay, if you didn't like John Cena, it made you hate him more. If you liked John Cena, that video made you like him more. It's just taking that emotion that you have and it's bottling it, because what you had there was everything that you don't like about John Cena highlighted, okay? That's everything that the 8-year-old likes about John Cena bottled and highlighted. So if you like him, then everything good was right there for you. It's what you don't like about him. It's not that you like John Cena for one reason and the 8-year-old likes him, or you hate John Cena for one reason and the 8-year-old likes him for a different reason. The 8-year-old likes him for the exact same reason that you as a 97-year-old hates him.
Yeah, a fat 97-year-old. But yeah. Let's go on here to talk about that, about why I hated them coming out of this. Two things, because they keep on showing his fans, and those fans are little kids, and, you know, much like you, I hate kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least that we agree on, first thing. Okay, and the other thing about this actually was, I wasn't actually having a problem with this video. I think this is a good video. I kind of like him like this. And then at one point, this Australian chick says, oh, he's just so real. And I'm like, no, that's the problem. Nothing about John Cena feels real to me. That's why CM Punk calling him the corporate Cena works so much.
It's still real to me.
No, nothing about this guy feels like, everything about him feels like a creation, a marketing creation.
You're aware she was from Australia, right?
So what's your point?
Island of criminals.
And liars?
And liars, yeah. They lie, they cheat, they steal.
Ah.
Yeah.
They're Latino? Latin heat?
No, those are from Fiji.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so the point is, though, that as soon as she said that, I went, this is the point for me about John Cena. I don't feel like he's a real person. And even when you try and portray him as a real person, nothing feels real because he comes out to the ring after having his ass handed to him and smiles and makes jokes. And he's just so perfect. And he's just, if you showed a person who is imperfect but trying, that's a person I can believe in. He showed me a person who's perfect. I don't believe in him.
I believe in Curt Hennig.
Well, Curt Hennig was awesome.
Yes, and he was perfect. All the way to the cocaine death. But I liked the video. Again, it's a matter of you're gonna choose your sides. I'm gonna be, you know, if we're gonna sit there and if you were to cheer for one of two people, I'm gonna cheer for The Rock because he entertains me more. But I thought
I laughed during The Rock.
Right? I thought both the videos were great, and they did what they needed to do. They were sort of an equivalent, I guess, of I look back to without the training footage. But I remember going back to that Rock versus Brock SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I want to say in that 2003. I want to say is that you know, but that was training footage primarily, but it was, you know, interviews and sitting down and talking and stuff, and that's what this really, I mean, they did do a little bit of training with the weights and such, but it wasn't it was more about interaction as Rock goes back to his high school and John Cena, you know, meets Australian chicks and you know, stuff like that, but, and really 8-year-olds and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I said to you at that point, I said, you know what, the downfall of John Cena is going to be just like Hulk Hogan was with the steroid trial, is that someone's going to come out of the woodwork here and claim that their son or daughter was molested by John Cena.
It's an easy lawsuit to make, and I know you're
kind of watching that video, and I was like, you know, like, I mean,
you're saying it as a half joke.
I hope it's a half joke, because, I mean, that'd be a really sick accusation to make, but watching all these interactions that he's having.
But it's true. I mean, the first thing you heard when you heard Michael Jackson was accused, and you know he has the kids around him all the time, the first thing you went was, seems plausible. So you just, yeah, it's true. I think in the light of the Jerry Sandusky and all that stuff.
Who?
Well, he's a wrestler.
Oh, Jerry Sandusky?
Yeah. Oh. Anyways, you know, in light of all that stuff.
Oh, but Joe Paterno's dead now, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, in light of all that, we're not going to get into this. But,
okay.
But in light of all that, I'm just saying the sensitivity of people, and I think the mistrust is at a higher level. So
mm-hmm.
I think you're right. That is the type of thing that an accusation could really be devastating, and you're right. Somebody, you know.
But I mean,
let's move on to the actual match. The match had a crowd reaction. Well, I'm just going to say this is a match which had the actual crowd reaction. Then the match itself pretty much sucked. And then the backstage stuff sucked way more than that.
I think I grabbed a slice of pizza, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 like they were both counted out. I was like, really?
Paid $60 for this?
I said, well, we didn't pay for this. But, okay. I mean, I mean, really, that's it? And then, you know, all of a sudden, then the backstage shit, and then he goes and they beat each other up, and then he goes and grabs Zack Ryder, and he wheels Zack Ryder out, and then...
Kane does, you mean.
Yeah, Kane wheels out, and
he hits Cena with a chair, so Cena was out.
And then Eve comes in, just stupid, right? And then,
he gives the tombstone pile driver to the guy whose back is already broken, and Cena doesn't make it in time, and then he laughs as he leaves, and then Eve is blaming Cena, and... Cena feeling guilty, and the acting was terrible, and I fucking hated it.
And then we faded.
Everybody did. People cheered when Zach got tombstone.
Yes.
And I thought it was because people hate Zach now, and you pointed out, I was like, no, that means it's close to being over.
Yes,
That's why people are cheering. It's so awful.
Well, you were talking about, you know, people were booing, and I'm like, well, they're booing because they just found out that the line at the concession stand is so long because everybody's there.
Yeah, because this was terrible.
But the best part about this is that they fade to black on John Cena, and as we open the light, there's David Arquette.
That's right, the anti-bullying campaign via star.
But anyway, then we move on. Okay, then we go from that to all of a sudden this music plays, and we're like, what the fuck music is? And Drew McIntyre walks down.
We're thinking there's one more match, right? We're thinking Dolph Ziggler, and I'm like, Dolph Ziggler got new music again, and then it's this guy who I don't ever see, Drew McIntyre.
But then Brodus Clay come out, and I mean,
which meant immediately that we thought, okay, he's not getting in the Rumble, but we're getting Brodus being Brodus.
Exactly, and he did the 1 minute and match, and that's fine.
Yeah, so he beat a guy who was fired, who complained. Apparently, Drew got this match because he complained that he wasn't in the Rumble, which a lot of people who were no longer employed would complain.
Mm-hmm. Well, precisely. I mean, it was just stupid, and then we find out that if you buy two Slim Jims, then WWF is going to give the Army a Slim Jim.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, Eve says one, but the ad said two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Eve has two. Anyway, then we go to the WWF or WWE title match, Dolph and CM Punk.
I'd like to snap into Eve.
It's, I need a little excitement. I don't know, the match was, my favorite part of this match was when Michael Cole said to Booker that John Laurinaitis was a better worker than him.
Really? My favorite part of this match was when Dolph Ziggler did a perfect dropkick and hit CM Punk in the chest. And Booker T said he...
Right in the snoz.
And King goes, really? I thought he hit him in the chest.
Yeah, he goes, right. He's like, the snoz... No, he made him clarify. He's like, the snoz. And Booker's like, yeah, you know, the nose. And Waller's like... Looked to me like he hit him in the chest, but... Holy shit. When he said the snoz, we both looked at each other and went, did he hit him in the chest? And then Waller goes, I think he hit him in the chest.
Yeah, Ziggler was buried in this match badly.
No, he was pinned
four fucking times.
He wasn't buried in the match. He just wasn't.
He was beat four times. Yeah. It took the fourth time before Laurinaitis didn't fuck it up.
Well, okay, let's look at this, though. He was pinned four times in the match, right?
Three times and one tap.
Three times and one tap. So he was beaten four times.
And he never beat Punk once.
Ziggler, he beat Punk four times. Leading to the match. So now they're even. This is the 50-50 booking that we look at.
Good point. But swear to God, though, I mean, Ziggler really comes off on this match. And it was never about Ziggler. It was about John Laurinaitis and CM Punk, which has me going, I don't understand, because I was thinking we were going to get CM Punk versus Chris Jericho, but it seems like they're really building towards CM Punk versus Laurinaitis. Maybe Jericho could be Laurinaitis' hand-picked opponent. But then again, he's probably getting fired tomorrow on Raw. I don't really know where they're going with this, which is fine if it's interesting. But when it's just kind of stupid, it's not really working. But yeah, Ziggler really, really poorly buried in this match. But I guess it doesn't matter because it wasn't about him.
Well, I mean...
It's an average match. I hope for better.
You could see a new general manager tomorrow. Who knows, right? I kind of figured that we're going that way a couple weeks ago when... Johnny Ass said, and he said something to the effect where I'm the interim general manager of Raw, hopefully soon to be the permanent general manager of Raw or whatever, and I'm going to okay, well, so he's going to lose it soon. But, and I mean, he's got the thing with Hunter, and who knows, right? I mean, it looks to be, I mean, they're leading to Punk and Laurinaitis in a match. You know, I don't know if maybe Elimination Chamber, if they go down to... See, here's the other thing, is if you go down to one chamber... With all the Raw guys in it, because the SmackDown guy won the Rumble, then you can then have Punk doesn't need to obviously to defend the title or be in the title, doesn't have to be on the line like it had been in past years. Like the title was on the line in both the chambers for the last few years, right?
That's true.
So this doesn't have to be the way, so you can have the champion Punk. I mean, I look at it like as close to this kind of storyline as they're trying to do, Austin McMahon, right? Austin and Vince had their deal at that Valentine's Day Massacre in February, and then Austin went on and fought Rock.
Well, that's
Mania,
exactly
right?
What I was
going to
say, is you had two things. Number one, you had the fact that now you could have a big buy rate before Mania, plus you had the Rock, who was a hot character for Austin to go again. So you had two reasons to not do it. This doesn't offer that. This doesn't have that guy who is the hot character right now that is hot. There's no character in the company, oddly, as a heel, that I feel is hotter than Laurinaitis. I just don't feel like I feel like Laurinaitis is over hot, very hot either. But who is?
Oh, wrestling sucks. What it is that all I'm saying is that that's your stopgap. If you're going to get that out of the way, that's the place to do it. And you figure the chamber is going to be the chamber, and then you've got this match. And if you're going to do it, you can do it, and it doesn't really affect anything. You know, it's not like CM Punk's putting the title on the line against John Laurinaitis. No, he's getting his revenge match against John Laurinaitis, and then who Jericho, let's say, can win the chamber, and then you've got, and the winner of the chamber gets to fight Punk at Mania. So that's kind of how you do that.
All right, I think we can analyze this a little bit better after we talk about the Rumble here.
Yes.
So
we're going into the Royal Rumble. And the Royal Rumble itself started, of course, with The Miz. We knew he was going to be number one.
Yes.
Number two was the man that is going to WrestleMania, baby, Alex Riley.
Explain that to everybody a little better, because that was awesome.
Number two. I mean, we were talking about it and sort of doing our own little, okay, well, how do you book this, or what do they do, and da-da-da-da-da. And we were sort of going, well, okay, we thought the Truth would then be number two because Miz was number one. And I said, well, you know, number three is going to be then is Alex Riley. Well, they did Alex Riley number two. And when Alex Riley's music hits and he comes out, he says something to the point where he goes, all right, going to WrestleMania. And
we started laughing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, rewind that.
yeah.
Let's do that again. He didn't actually say that, did he? We watched it like three times.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he came out, got eliminated immediately, and then it was
true. So we were backwards on it there, so now they get that going through. And then number four, Cody Rhodes comes in. And Cody Rhodes and The Miz would be the two Iron Men.
Yeah,
in
they both went like 35 minutes.
Let's say 35, 40 minutes, something like that. Yeah, so...
yeah, there were a lot of people were entering the Rumble. They didn't actually ever mention how long it would be, but it was just over a minute before people were entering the Rumble.
You had said 87 seconds at
one time I counted, just one time, yeah. And I think a lot of them were actually faster than that.
Yeah, it seemed that way, that things were happening kind of faster. There weren't really regular intervals, which has happened, you know.
Yeah, it was like at one point
right?
we figured it had been about a half hour going on, and 23 people had entered.
That's right.
So, they were going past
36 minutes, and there were, 23 people on the app. It was 10 minutes quicker than it should have been. But anyway, so then... number five was
that background noise is Addie's dog, everybody, chewing on a bone.
Okay.
Just so everybody knows, that's not me chewing on anything.
Okay.
I am fat, not currently eating. Though there is slices of pizza out there.
Yes. So when Mo's silent, you know that's what he's doing. Justin Gabriel, number five, whatever. Number six, Primo, whatever.
Primo? Don't say whatever.
Hmm?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That youngster, Primo Cologne?
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, Primo.
Primo, blah, blah, blah. And then Truth was eliminated, I guess. But then number seven, Mick Foley. You know, the flannel and the Cactus Jack shirt.
Came running down to the ring.
Yes.
If you can call it that.
Run hobbling down the ring. Just horrible. It was really kind of sad.
I'm not sure if he's capable of getting in shape anymore. I'm not sure if the injuries would make it even if he was.
I'm looking, I'm looking at you got to lose weight. Well, how do people lose weight? They go jogging. Foley cannot
do that. He looked in so much pain just running down to the ring. Not only that, but...
He shouldn't have done it. He should have just played to the crowd and done his thing. And...
But I'd say he got the biggest pop of the night.
Probably. Pretty close. I would say sustained...
Much like your mom got last night.
I would say sustained pop because he was in there for... long enough, because the next entrant was Alberto Del Rio's music.
This was awesome.
And then a tremendous car with, duct tape, back window.
Smash. Like, a car you'd pay $25 for.
Yeah.
Came out.
And Ricardo Rodriguez was there doing his gimmick with the towel. He came out. The front license plate said Ricardo on the car.
Yeah,
it
came out.
He
came out. He's playing to the crowd, doing all of Del Rio's mannerisms. Of course, Del Rio was legit hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out and he threw his music. Everybody thought Del Rio was back.
He had magic marker. He looked like he was wearing tighty whiteies.
Yeah, magic marker written on
R's on his tights.
He kissed the $25 car on the way out.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and then he got to the ring. And the crowd was chanting his goddamn name.
Oh, yeah. And he helped Foley eliminate Justin Gabriel, and then he did, this massive, celebration. And
yeah.
We said, wow, he's like...
He did, CM Punk used to do when he was a heel, where he ran around with his arms.
Yeah.
In a circle.
And we're like, wow, it's like Santino. And then the next entrant was Santino.
Yeah, yeah. So we thought we were going to have a bunch of comedy spots, but instead Santino just beat the crap out of him and threw him out.
Gave him a wedgie, so that was the thing. And then we got a Socko versus Cobra war.
Yes, that was pretty awesome. The Cobra went on one end, the Socko went on another, and these two comedy characters, Mick Foley and Santino,
mm-hmm.
had 5 seconds of almost funny stuff.
Yes, before Epico comes in.
Well, that changed everything.
Then Foley threw him out, and then... They did their the Cobra versus Socko the meeting of the fists or whatever, right? So anyway, that was
awful.
That
little moment actually, I made you rewind that because mm-hmm. the camera angle of those two, like the sock and the
yeah,
it was pretty. The camera work was pretty good, made it seem pretty fun.
And then pretty much, then Cody Rhodes eliminated both of them, and it was done.
Yeah,
and then Kofi comes out, and then we got into the
Do we want to talk about the Kofi spot now or later?
Well, Kofi, yeah, Kofi had the one spot where was it Miz went to eliminate him?
I think it was Miz, yeah.
And but Kofi basically did a handstand. Well, not basically, he did a handstand.
Yeah,
because
his hands were on the ground.
Yeah,
he was thrown out. He landed with his hands. And he pushes his legs over, or Miz does. And you think, okay, well, his feet haven't touched the ground yet, but you're waiting for it as he starts to throw them over. Instead, he regains his balance.
And he walked.
Yeah, on his hands.
Yeah.
And then put his legs down
The steel steps.
Comment was immediately...
And then we basically both at the same time said, who needs John Morrison?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, well, they never have to hire John Morrison.
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, that's the John Morrison spot. And you just said, well, they never have to hire John Morrison. Yeah. You beat me to it. And I'm like, even better point. They don't have to hire him back because Kofi can do everything he can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't have a girlfriend.
I was going to say, Kofi's girlfriend doesn't come.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At least not that we know of.
But, Jerry Lawler, your next entrant.
Yeah.
And this starts kind
of... To be a king.
It takes a king to know a king, but Lawler and Miz come out and or do some stuff, and then he put the he basically got to do a couple punches, go up to the top rope, take the strap off, do the fist drop, then Cody eliminated him, and Booker was pretty pissed.
Yeah, he got his three spots in, and
yeah.
That's it, right?
And then Big Zeke comes out next.
Okay, move on.
And then Jinder Mahal comes out next.
Move on.
Then Great Khali comes out.
And that was interesting, because Great Khali, I believe, is not an employee of theirs anymore.
Mm.
And he came out and eliminated Jinder and Zeke. Not that that matters.
Yeah, but,
he didn't get much of a reaction.
I had said, when we were kind of going through surprises of the Rumble, I had said the Great Khali at one point, just only because I was thinking of, big guys.
Yeah.
That, you know, because that's their Rumble thing is, you know, that they have these big guys that, you know, oh, who's going to eliminate this massive person kind of thing, right? So, anyway, Cully come out, and, of course, he had the Jinder was in the ring, so he goes for Jinder and eliminates Jinder, and then, of course, Zeke goes out, and then...
his brother-in-law, Jinder.
Jinder Mahal.
His brother-in-law. Yeah, no, I mean... Again, I didn't think they'd bring him back just because what's the point of a one-shot for a guy like that? But, what the hell.
Then Hunico comes out.
That youngster?
The youngster Hunico driven on his bike. And every time I see that bike, I do, my bike! You got my bike!
Yeah, the Pee Wee Herman bike, yeah.
And he's driven by the Mexican from Fiji, Haku's son, Camacho.
Yeah. Move on.
And he does his shit. And then the next... number 17, Booker T.
He takes the king.
Comes out. And then, number 18 was Dolph.
Now, I'm going to say, I had mentioned to you before we started, Booker could be one of the entrances. It wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the same thing, and then we kind of saw the very beginning. They showed them, and he's wearing a suit and stuff.
Well,
figured.
They're all in dress clothes, so I didn't think, like, Lawler or... Booker. I mean, well, they're in their dress clothes, so I mean, it's not. But I mean, King.
It turned out to be just the top half. But it looked like
exactly.
The way the camera angle was.
Yeah.
So they looked like they're in dress clothes.
They did a good job that way.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, and then 18 was Dolph coming back, which again was part of the gimmick where anybody was eligible, so he lost earlier, so he's got his chance now. Number 19 was.
Didn't do much with him in there.
Second biggest pop of the night, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, second biggest pop of the night, and funny enough, Hacksaw Jim Duggan looked awful.
Yes.
Is how old?
Late 650.
Late 60s?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he looked way better in the ring than Mick Foley. And that is a shoot. That's the one thing I was thinking as I was watching him. I was like, holy crap, he still looks better in the ring, is moving better and doing better. Looks better than Mick Foley.
Yeah. I mean, there's the size issue there. There's the, just what they put
Hacksaw's
themselves
Hacksaw's not small. Hacksaw's not young. He looks better in the ring.
Smaller than Foley.
Yeah.
And he's done half the shit that Foley's done.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, that's why. But you're right.
But that's what's sad, though, is because Hacksaw, he's a nostalgia one-time guy, whereas Foley might actually have a Mania match or an angle or a couple matches a year. And he looks worse than Hacksaw, even. I don't want it. Like, I really don't want him to have a match.
Well,
I want him to have a role. And I think he could have a role putting somebody over, not as a, like a...
Buttermilk?
Well, there can be a role just in there can be a role. It's like, remember that moment he did when he left the WWE, where he was an announcer, and then he had that in-ring thing with Edge?
Yeah.
And even though... Like, he put over Edge without having a match with him in that segment.
Right.
And those type of things he'd be great at.
Mm-hmm.
But actually wrestling, God, no, don't do it, dude.
Dude.
Dynamic,
dude. Well, number 20, here's the string, I guess, of just, kind of thing where we had Hacksaw. Number 20, Michael Cole.
Yeah.
It was like, really?
Yeah.
Wait, I told you earlier that, you know, when they said Ricardo, and I told you earlier, I was like, the rumblings about Eugene being there.
And I said that wasn't going to happen.
And I was sitting there going, you know, but then Ricardo come out, I said, okay, well, Ricardo fills the Eugene spot. You don't need Eugene.
And it means you're probably not going to get Hornswoggle.
When you get Ricardo, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I actually would rather have Eugene than Michael Cole.
I would probably agree with that. Michael Cole came into the ring. At this point, I was thinking to myself, oh, they're not nearly as clever as they think they are. But, he gets into the ring, and he just kind of plays to the crowd. And goes, yeah, I'm going to me. I'm going to headline. He's making all these faces, and all the other guys in the ring, it's like Cody and Ziggler.
And they're ignoring him, though.
Well, yeah, the thing, they're ignoring him. They're just fighting each other. And so... You said to me, "Wow, this would be a great spot for JR." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's what's next, JR's music."
Yeah.
It wasn't JR's music, but it was somebody who
was coming back.
Was coming back and had a little issue with Cole before they left. That would be.
It was Karma. Yeah. So Karma comes back, and actually the piano.
Terrific.
The first thing that the piano chord hit, the boom, and all of a sudden I looked and I'm like, "I'm the boogeyman." And I thought worms were going to start coming
into
my school.
Yeah, you even hear the laugh, and you're thinking, yeah.
And I thought it was, no, because as soon as I heard the laugh, I'm like, okay, it's not the boogeyman, because it was always, boom, I'm the boogeyman. And I thought, but, no, I thought the boogeyman for a second was coming out, and then it ended up being Karma, so.
Well, Booker T was in the ring, so there's a chance.
There's very true. No Fit Finley, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then Karma's eliminated Hunico.
Well, that's right. Well, yeah, basically Cole was afraid of her and just climbed out and eliminated himself.
That's right.
Well, actually, he climbed out and he was thinking about jumping down and thinking about not. And King and Booker grabbed his legs and pulled
him
down.
Well, you know why they did this is because Michael Cole eliminated himself from the Royal Rumble. And what that does is that gives him the ability and the connection to now be the man that inducts Mil Máscaras into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Because they have the same gimmick?
Because they both eliminated themselves from the Royal Rumble.
Well, the thing was, Michael Cole eliminated himself because he wanted to. Mil Máscaras eliminated himself because that way he could act like he didn't know the rules and pretend that if he hadn't eliminated himself, nobody else could have because he didn't want to put anybody else over because he's a douche. I just want to mention this. You know what? We're this far in. I'm just thinking.
Michael Cole's not a douche.
Well, good point. But anyways, a different kind of douche. Anyways, you know, we talked about CM Punk winning. We never mentioned what happened really with CM Punk and Laurinaitis. So really quickly, just digress back to that.
CM Punk and John Laurinaitis had an issue.
With the pin. Nobody cares.
Laurinaitis come in and counted along with the referee the pin and gave the impression, oh, I sold it right down the middle. It was a ref bump and blah, blah, blah.
It was two ref
stupid.
Bumps.
It's not even worth it. Punk won. Let's all move on with our lives.
Just thinking we should, I'd like to, but I'd like to have never seen it. But I was just thinking if people are listening, we should actually tell them what the fuck happened. So anyways, let's move on to, what was it, number 22, number 23?
We are number 22, Sheamus.
Okay.
Come in, and then number 23.
With lucky spot number 22. Number 23, you got the guy you kept on mentioning that I actually didn't think was actually going to be in it.
Oh, you didn't know?
Your ass better. Call?
Somebody?
What the hell? Road Dog.
Doggy Dog. And I was just disappointed that he didn't get a microphone to talk as he walked down the ring and do his, you know, it's a D-O-double-G thing, right? So
yeah.
I was hoping he got that, but he didn't, but he come down. And I thought, when I saw him at the Slammies, I thought, okay, well, that's an easy, and he got a big, pretty good pop, and the thing with the Road...
And a fair pop tonight again.
Well, he did, and the
like
thing...
Like your mom.
The thing with the Road Dog, and when I look at last year with Booker T and with Diesel coming back, is it those, and I said this to you going into the Rumble, is that, you know, I don't want fucking Slaughter and Piper...
And Hacksaw.
I knew fucking Hacksaw. It was the 25th anniversary of Hacksaw. Oh, that's real fucking original, right? I mean, so, like, Hacksaw was good the first time he was in the Rumble. Because they're like, oh, he's the first ever winner. I'm like, oh, that's good. And that was, like, whenever when he come up with Edge or whatever. But, I mean, it's fine. But I didn't want the same old, same old. Road Dogg is not the same old, same old, right?
Well, I had said I thought the guy, if they could have gotten him, and they apparently tried to get John Laurinaitis' brother, Road Warrior Animal.
Yeah.
And that would have made sense in St. Louis where his son plays and, you know, his brother being part of the major angle. So that would have made sense. I had mentioned to you I thought the guy who would have been the best guy to get if they could have gotten him for a one-shot would have been Batista. They would have got a big, fast, massive pop. Would have been good for Batista to be back in the public eye for whatever movies or whatever he's working on and just give people something that they would feel like they saw something special.
Well, I thought that if Eugene was going to come out, then people would think they saw something special.
That's true.
So
they already saw Kane.
That's true. But I think that Big Red Retard. But I think that if we had the Road Dog, I don't know, there was... I was kind of hoping we would see a spot where there was Cody, there was Gold Dust, and then the American Dream, maybe the Boot of the Woods come out next, right? So
yeah.
It was just three of them, but I was hoping for that spot. We didn't get it.
I was hoping for something else you mentioned afterwards. You said it should be Road Dogg, and right after that, Billy Gunn would come out, then X-Pac.
And then Hunter.
Then Hunter. I was like, it would have been cool, too. But
Yeah. I mean, but we had to have the fucking announcers in. And the announcer, I mean, I'm sorry, having all three announcers in there, to me, is what took brought this show to be the slightly leaning down to me.
Yeah, again, where they're not as clever as they think they are.
Mm-hmm. But number 24, Jey Uso. Wow.
I thought it was Jimmy Uso.
No, Jimmy Uso was in a fucking whatever you call those, sweater vest. And
So came next was Jimmy Uso or Jey Uso.
Yes, and come in with a sweater vest next to him, so you knew you're only going to get.
Uso came in.
You knew you're only going to get one of the fucking Usos. Great.
Yeah.
And then Swagger comes in next. Then Wade Barrett.
I would have preferred Mason Ryan to an Uso. To a sole Uso.
Yeah, because he's not a tag team guy, right?
Yeah.
And then Wade Barrett. Then you get David Otunga.
Yoshi Tatsu.
Yes. He's a tag team guy, too, with Santina. Santatsu, or whatever the fuck they're called. Randy Orton comes out next, after David Otunga. It was 27.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that was probably pop of the night.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge reaction for Randy.
And then 29...
Hometown, right?
That's right.
Homegrown.
Yes. When he got thrown out, he went AWOL.
That's right.
Then we had, what do you call it? Jericho 29, and then number 30 was his Jericho tag team partner, The Big Show.
Yes.
So then Orton actually eliminating The Big Show kind of with ease.
Yeah, Big Show came in and eliminated a few guys.
They didn't do that Andre spot with anybody.
No.
There was no Andre spot this year where guys all got teamed up.
Show eliminated Miz and
Rhodes.
And you saw this every single time somebody who's... This is why you have the Usos and these guys in there, right? Every single time a person who's actually an upper mid-card or main event comes in, they get to eliminate one guy to establish that they're actually somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they get to eliminate one to two guys. You saw it with Orton, you saw it with Jericho, you saw it with Show, you saw it with Sheamus, you saw everybody who was actually somebody who has a little, is considered an upper mid-card or higher guy.
I was hoping for the return of SWAT team member number two.
Yeah, well,
but,
how big is he now?
No avail.
What does he weigh?
No avail.
How tall is that guy?
Who would he ever be?
Anyways.
But that was the thing, is nobody ever teamed up on a big guy. Great Khali got eliminated. Great Khali actually was almost a, I mean, not that he should have been focused on, but he really was an afterthought in terms of the elimination, is that it was like somebody smaller got eliminated and then Khali like immediately after.
Khali's a guy who in the past has been eliminated by himself or herself, eliminated by Beth Phoenix. So at that point, who gives a shit? But the thing about Show is, it was Orton and Sheamus trying to lift him up, and he threw Sheamus aside, and then Orton just threw him out by himself.
Like a regular guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this left, at this point, I think we had Sheamus.
The final five were Sheamus, Jericho, Orton, Big Show, and Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler got eliminated, I believe, by the Big Show. And then we had the final four.
I thought he was part of the final four.
Who?
Wasn't Dolph? No?
No, because no. I said this would be the final
four. Oh, you're right. Yeah.
I was thinking the final four. I said, well, I would have got rid of Sheamus and had this be the final four. And
there's a reason that didn't happen.
No, and then we got down.
The funny thing is when we got down to these final four or whatever, I said, oh, or even down to the final three, I'm like, okay, they're getting down to, because our picks were either Orton or Jericho the whole time. And we'd heard also from the WWE, they were going with one of those two, and if they did make a switch at the last minute, it'd be a real surprise. But they were set in one of those two, and I was set in one of those two. It's going to get down to one of those two, because that way people won't know who's the winner.
Exactly. And then Jericho eliminates Randy Orton, and I looked at you and I said, "Look, Sheamus is winning the Rumble."
Pretty much. Well, we went on for quite a while. This was a long.
Well, no, but as soon as Orton got eliminated, I said Sheamus is winning the Rumble, because if they were going to go with one of those two, then with Jericho or Orton, and people would know about it, you would have done Jericho versus Orton with the people that said, oh, it's going to be Jericho or Orton, still aren't going to know who's winning.
Exactly.
So as soon as you got down to those two,
I
was thinking, okay, fuck, Sheamus has got this now.
It's a swerve, whereas I'm going, no, I just can't see Sheamus winning it. So I still thought Jericho was going to, but sure enough, Sheamus won it. One of the things that's really interesting about Jericho was he came down at number 29. No smiling.
No.
The guy never talked. He never had any backstage stuff. No. He had the jacket. That's it. Didn't come down, didn't smile, didn't run around to shake hands or anything. He came down. He was serious as a heart attack.
Yeah.
And and then he got eliminated and lost it as the second last member. The world indeed not changed this evening.
So you said the interesting thing was that.
Well, it is interesting that he
switched
across
his
character.
Since January 2nd, you've given a shit about Chris Jericho. And I don't.
Okay, well, why don't we get into this right now, then? And then we'll come back to Sheamus.
Well, no, let's keep going with the Royal Rumble. Let's finish the Royal Rumble, because the Royal Rumble now, Sheamus wins the Royal Rumble. Okay, Sheamus, presumably a SmackDown wrestler, the SmackDown heavyweight champion, Daniel Bryan. This is a match that was bumped from WrestleMania. It's supposed to be a U.S. title match last year, got bumped. Did it get bumped to the free show, or was it even bumped to the dark match?
It was bumped. It was not on the
free show. Oh, it went on Raw the next night, did it?
It went on Raw the next night. If you'll remember what it was you know, as you say, at the time Daniel Bryan was the U.S. champ defending against Sheamus, the heel Sheamus.
No. Wasn't it the other way around?
No. It was Daniel Bryan was
Sheamus was the U.S. champion because he wore red, white, and blue tights now, or whatever. Was that later?
Maybe. It doesn't matter. Whatever. I know anyway. Daniel Bryan won the match and won the title. Had the title after Mania.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, it doesn't matter. But the point is that the final video package right before Mania went on air focused on those two. And then that match never went on Mania.
That's right. I do remember that when we were watching the pre-show or whatever.
So now we're thinking, okay, so now these guys will be on, instead of being against each other in Mania again, they're going to get bumped. The first time ever, the World Heavyweight title match will be bumped to Mania.
The Royal Rumble winner will be bumped to Monday Night Raw. Now, to be fair, it will be a Monday Night Raw Super Show.
Good point.
So, but yes, that is, that's kind of a little bit of irony is that at this, the way it kind of stands now, and who knows, plans can change, and who knows what the hell. I mean, there's a lot of kind of questions.
Well, yeah, that's
point.
The thing. Let's talk a little bit about Sheamus winning the Royal Rumble, main eventing WrestleMania, and let's start it off with this question. What the fuck?
Well, yeah, I mean, what the fuck indeed? I mean, we're looking at, we talked about the Daniel Bryan possibility there. And now I look, though, at, what does that mean for Randy Orton?
Well, what does it mean for Randy Orton? I cannot picture Sheamus challenging in one of the top four matches, for the World Heavyweight title at Mania. I just don't see it. And I also don't see Daniel Bryan defending it at Mania. So I kind of don't know what the hell they're doing or where they're going. Like, it's I don't know. I really, it was a real big surprise. I felt like one of those surprises, not for what's for the best, but one of those surprises, well, we got to surprise people now. I don't know if I'd go quite at the level of Rusev-rific, but it was along those lines.
It wasn't Rusev-rific. It wasn't just a complete, waste, I guess. Because, I mean, there's a couple things with this that, with Sheamus winning, is that, I mean, if you look at from a sheer promotional aspect, I mean, Sheamus was the first guy to come out and say, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble.
That's true.
Sheamus was almost in that Ricardo spot from last year where it was his destiny to win the Royal Rumble, and he started talking about it immediately and kept going. I mean, Sheamus was the most consistent guy week in and week out to me to talk about winning the Rumble, and then, of course, now he did.
The thing is, he's good for the WWE and his public appearances. Gets a good reaction and all that type of thing, but he's not. There's no sense that this character is really strong right now as far as his momentum, both as a character or how he's being booked.
Yeah, but, I mean, again,
I mean, being Jack Swagger 75 weeks in a row doesn't impress the shit out of me.
It doesn't?
No.
Oh. But, I mean, I guess the other thing, too, is that you do have to start somewhere. And
not at Mania, you don't.
Okay, fucking John Cena's fighting The Rock. Okay. So,
people... Much like nothing matters at the Rumble because the Rumble's a draw?
Yeah, precisely.
I'll give you that.
I mean, so if you are going to do this, now is the time to do it. This is the year to do that. Like, when we're talking about Daniel Bryan going in and being the champion, and we're talking about CM Punk going in and being the champion, like, if you're going to make Daniel Bryan the champion at the World Heavyweight Champion at a WrestleMania and still have a duo, like, this is the one to be doing that.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, I see your point of view. Don't get me wrong. I do. But they don't think that way. They've never thought that way.
Well, so that's where I'm talking about. Now you've got the possibilities here. So, as I said, what is this for Randy Orton, the man that lost three times to Mark Henry, did a bunch of jobs and got hurt and then come back and now was,
well, is it because
thinking
Henry,
he was going to do a bunch of stuff?
Is this Henry's blow up for a while? Is he gone for a while because of those injuries?
Well, Henry had a thing, and it was Dave Meltzer that was talking about this, is that Henry had a bit of a kind of a reputation of not working hurt. And so now he is working hurt. Because he's got the big push, and so now he gets hurt, and so his one injury now becomes two injuries, and so it's kind of like, well, does that really help out? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what we haven't done at this point is really clarified anything. We talk about, you know, the road to WrestleMania begins. Well, you know, nobody knows.
Yeah, this
right?
is usually at the end of the Rumble, I have a really good idea where Mania is going.
Well,
I don't have any idea.
I don't want to see even Mania, but at least you get a one, maybe two matches out of it, right? Like, we watched a bit of the 1992 Royal Rumble, you know, and it was like, even such a thing as, like, Chico Santana and Shawn Michaels both eliminated each other that led to a match.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, like, so, I mean, it's like little things like that, but I mean, we don't really have any idea. We had a John Cena Kane double countout, right? I mean, we know Cena and The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
that's
what
we know.
You're continuing the Cena and Kane feud, and the level of I couldn't give a fuck is at its highest
for
that.
The thing is with this now is, okay, now we've got the chamber, right?
Yeah.
Pay per view coming up. Is there one chamber or is there two chambers?
Don't know.
Right? We don't know.
Is it for a title shot or is it for the title? Don't know.
We don't know. Sheamus is in the commercial is all we know. So you said, oh, he's going to be in the chamber.
Yeah.
I thought, well, now he's won. Now, is he putting his shot up in the chamber? Is there that possibility?
Why the fuck
right?
would you do that?
Because he won as a swerve, right? And that's all there is to that, right? I mean, like, if the plan was never... Obviously, we know that the plan was not for him to win the all along, right? I mean, we knew it was supposed to be Orton, and then they were giving some to Jericho, some... And now Sheamus has kind of come out, and so... I mean, we're pretty sure that this was not the original plan. So, when they filmed the commercial, you know...
Pretty sure then sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they filmed the commercial, obviously, you know... So that's why he's in it. But, I mean, do you put then, if this is a swerve just meant to get people talking, then you would think that maybe, okay, there's a title shot for the Raw champion and then the SmackDown championship title shot is up for grabs in the chamber.
Well, I said to you, I think what they should do with the chamber is one chamber and three guys from each brand. But, you know, I prefer the chamber as being... for a number one contendership. One chamber for the other number one contendership. And I wish the WWE didn't feel they had to defend every title.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even defend the titles on that show.
Well, I agree that I think that, yeah, the Rumble and then the other brand...
build the chamber to be important enough as a main event, and it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, then the other brand who doesn't get the Rumble winner, that's where the other WrestleMania title shot is decided, is in the chamber, and then there's that, and I mean, you can have a championship match in, not in the chamber, but the chamber, but you can have a world title match. I mean, last year, it was Miz against Lawler, right? Well, fine, Lawler wasn't winning the title.
Yeah.
But it was just a stopgap thing. Instead, this year, you can do Punk against Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
But now you don't have your title, but that's where you do your blow-off deal, because You're getting a Raw Elimination Chamber to determine the champion or the person that's going to fight CM Punk, but then you've got enough of an issue that you can blow that deal off, right? Before you get down to your serious business of Mania. So, lots of possibilities, and that's the thing, is right now with Sheamus winning, right now it's Sheamus and you would think it would be Sheamus and Daniel Bryan.
You would think so, yeah.
Right? It's a heel and a face.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not against Punk. So, I mean, maybe, but I mean, you know. So.
Two months in this day and age is, 2 months it used to be, yeah, that's not much time to build that match for Mania.
No.
And nothing's going to, you know, they're going to slowly build over those 2 months. And
not in this day and age. Two months. Three pay-per-views.
Yeah, exactly. And even if it isn't in this particular case, it is actually three title changes possible. You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, anything can change, and Vince McMahon can wake up on the wrong side of the bed and the other side of the bed and change his mind a million times, too, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just the world that we live in.
Okay, I want to talk about Jericho here, because he came back, you didn't like it at all. And why was that?
Because it was boring.
Okay, and you're very much a person who is about instant gratification. You're not a patient person. You want excitement right away.
Yeah, you know, it's a chocolate chip cookie. It's a 5-second orgasm. You know what I mean? Tell me you eat the smoke, you eat the cookie, you smoke the cigarette, you go to work the next day. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Leary. And I understand, but I understand that you are. And whereas I was sitting there going, I liked it because I think he was making me laugh and it was going somewhere. I thought you were building up and they did it perfectly. Build up. To that moment, I'd get a payoff. You expected the payoff that first night. I expected the payoff at the Rumble, and I didn't get it, and now I'm pissed.
I didn't expect the payoff at the Rumble. I didn't expect the payoff that night. I expected it to be Chris Jericho. I didn't expect to necessarily know why he was back, or it was more that he was back, and, you know, we were happy to see that he was back. What he did went on to me too long.
Okay, so, and it entertained me. I thought it was
the actual thing bored me to the point where I was going to change the channel. And then he come out the next week and he did the same thing.
And made me laugh again.
And then he come out the next week and he walked out on the tag match or whatever, right? And I thought, okay, that was to me the part where it was like, all right, that's. Kind of, okay, that's something at least a little bit different. I'm okay with that. And then he does the highlight reel the next week, and he speaks and he says it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. And I thought immediately right there, okay, if you are going to be silent for so long and do this whole so long bit where you're doing it, now you come out and you say it's the end of the world, and now it's the whole, well, you know, you get people saying, wow, he's keeping people guessing. It's like, no, it's made me stop giving a shit.
And
Chris Jericho right now, to me, is another guy on the roster. He's nothing special. He's not a guy we're talking about. When you told me in just before Christmas that the plan is going to be Chris Jericho against CM Punk, and I start, you know, doing like Stu Hart, and I'm, you know, like rubbing my hands together and going, well, I wonder what kind of match they can have, you know? And I'm sitting there going, like, well, that's going to be fabulous. That's going to be fantastic. It's two talkers. It's two great workers. It's two really charismatic guys. It's one guy that's really good against being a heel, and it's a great guy, you know, that's riding this babyface crest. And it's Chris Jericho that's willing to put over guys to get them to that next level. And unlike Mick Foley, he physically still can.
Yeah. And the thing is, it is logically still enough time to build that because it is two guys who are all those things, who are the charismatic guys, the great talkers and this and that. So you still could build that to be excitement, but there's two things that have happened to me. Number one, you have the Laurinaitis whole quagmire going on over there, you know, giggity, bugging the shit out of me now because I don't know where he falls into this. So, but
hey,
then,
Meg, 18?
But then the bigger thing for me is I was, like I said, Jericho was making me laugh. I had no problem with this. But when he said, I'm going to change the world. The world as you know it is going to change or whatever. What the fuck was the video?
No. It was, it will be revealed when she lets me and such.
Okay, and then he's silent.
His one speaking thing was this Sunday at the Royal Rumble, it'll be the end of the world as you know it.
Yeah, and the video said something about end of the world, too. So, end of the world. So
wasn't
now,
it profitless and all that shit?
I don't know. But the point being that you had this, and then you came out and wasn't the end of the world character. Like, everybody thought from the videos it could have been The Undertaker, it could have been Wright.
You're talking about Russo-rific.
Yeah, this is Russo-rific. So you built up this one character, and then it came out with opposite. But then you gave me a tease that now we're going to see it, and it's going to be at the Rumble, and pay your money, and things are going to change. And nothing fucking happened tonight to develop this character. Now I'm pissed because now all of a sudden I agree with you. Now he is just another guy. Now to me he's another guy who when he says something, it doesn't matter anymore because there's no payoff. And there's no reason for me to care what he says because I don't believe anything's going to come from it either.
Yeah.
Anyways, like I gave up on the character.
See,
like, tonight they've ruined the character for me.
Well, you said they've ruined the character for me. And to me, the thing that I, my issue with it is there is no character.
No, there isn't. You're
the
right.
Character
tonight was when I expected the character to be revealed.
Well, that's the thing. Is you're talking about the character needs to be revealed. And I'm on board for, and I probably will be on board for Punk and Jericho. Again, if and when the character is revealed and we can start to get this stuff. Like I said, I was bored because he didn't say anything or do anything. He ran around and ran around and around. And I'm like, fuck, I gotta watch Eugene do that. You know, run around the ring and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this does nothing for me because this isn't, you know, and everybody was talking about reading on the internet, and it's like, well, it's the art form, and it's, you know, you just don't get it. They've got this big picture, and he's a genius, and it's this underlying character-driven story that's going to come. I'm like, fuck off, it's wrestling, okay? You're a good guy,
and
you're a bad guy.
You're a good
guy, or you're a bad guy, and this ain't the fucking Schindler's List, or the fucking Martin Scorsese, it's fucking wrestling, you're a good guy, you're a bad guy, you can talk, you can not talk, you can wrestle, or you can not wrestle. And when he left, when someone went to tag him and he left, I thought, okay, that's a wrestling angle.
Yeah.
And okay, then he went and he did the heel thing. Well, his other problem with this thing is that it seemed like he expected to come out and do this whole, yeah, and get booed, and he did.
Yeah.
And then he came out the next week, and he expected to come out and get booed. And he did at the end. But it took a fuck of a long time. And then he came out, and he left on a tag match, and of course he was going to get booed. And I wasn't surprised about that. I said, well, fuck anybody get booed on that. A babyface, three babyfaces, and one of them fucking leaves. Of course they're going to get booed, right? And then he comes out, and he does the whole, and he's telling people to be quiet, and he's going, shh. And I'm like, that's retarded. And he's telling people to be quiet. And it's like, but he kept doing it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm like, this is so fucking low rent. And he's doing, I'm like, am I watching TNA? And then they did a great video of this 30 second of Jericho's whole career. In 30 seconds. Like, from Break the, you know, the Millennium Man to Jericho Show and then the whole thing,
yeah.
Right? And it was great. And then he said, this Sunday at the Royal Rumble. So he's talking now? That was him talking? All of a sudden, like, now he just he says one line, and it's like, that's it.
Yeah, and he got a huge pop
for it. Yeah, of course he did, because it was the first time he talked, but that's all he said. That's all he did. I'm like, I didn't agree with the whole being silent and running around the ring and being stupid, because that didn't entertain me. But if you're going to do that, commit to it, and then you had 2 weeks of that, and then all of a sudden he says this one line, and now, as you said in the Royal Rumble, that one line didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So it was like,
I would have no problem with it if that line meant anything. Now, I was entertained by him running around because watching him manipulate the sheep at ringside was hilarious to me. And the way he was able to do that without words, I thought that was hilarious. And I really enjoyed that. But like I say, when you said the line, you built up that something's going to happen if you put your money down. And it didn't. And fuck you.
The thing is again, I didn't expect it to mean anything. He said the one line, I didn't expect anything to come of that. It's just something he said, and he did, and it's like, well, great, you know?
You know what? If he had just said, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble, I wouldn't have expected anything, because that means nothing. When it says the world as you know it will end or change or whatever, that to me speaks that there's a bigger, something bigger.
You know what?
So anyways, I'm just really disappointed now with the character. And that's the ultimate thing, is I was enjoying the character, but I was enjoying the character, and I felt like you built to something and then didn't deliver. So yeah.
I think that's where we kind of differed, is you're like, well, you just wait to what that's this is going to go to, and I'm going, wow.
And I hate to say it, but in the end, you were right. I mean, just like I was right about Zack Ryder and how everybody should be doing what he did and promoting themselves. Remember that one? Remember I won that one?
No, you didn't win that one. Because I remember you thinking, you kept thinking that you were going to win that one, and I kept telling you that you never understood my point.
My
point in the Zack Ryder thing was that no one's going to do it until him, whatever he's doing, actually paid off. Until what he did at the YouTube show, until the WWE started pushing him because he was doing it, no one else was going to do it. And really, I mean, there isn't that many people that are going to be doing it. I mean, they had the DiBiase posse, right?
Brian had a show for a couple weeks.
Yes, he buried him. Bury that cockroach. Awesome. And now they're going to do whatever it is. It's like Santino's Italian cuisine or whatever the fuck it's called.
I don't know. Fuck, whatever. It's like they're trying to figure out, it's like they had these ideas for shows for the network, which was supposed to come out at WrestleMania, and now will come out at WrestleMania 2017.
Yes.
And so, you know, you don't want to throw away genius ideas like this.
It's full of glory.
Put them on, on YouTube. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I think, are we done with WWE? Anything else to talk about?
Why? There's another promotion?
I was just going to say, do you have anything you want to say about TNA?
Fuck TNA.
That's what I think, too. And how about ROH? Anything you want to say on ROH?
I would like to say about ROH that Dixie Carter is a cunt.
Actually, what I want to say about ROH is now that we've been gone for a while, we had the 1989 show, which admittedly we put in the can a while ago. So
it was in my bathroom, true.
That's true. That's true. It was in your mom's can. But anyway, that's why it's so dirty.
I was
anyway,
in your mom's can.
Anyways, look, I'm just going to say this. ROH, now that you've been on Sinclair for a while, I don't get the sense that you've built any further momentum, which is a little disappointing to me.
If anything, they built a little bit of less, a little less momentum, to be honest. Their iPay-per-views, I don't know why. I mean, the last iPay-per-view was just before Christmas, and I mean, it was something that I just wasn't really paying attention to be honest. And, you know, if they get something, maybe I'll again, it's all about kind of the hype. And you know, I'm kind of bored with some of the ROH guys. It seems like it's been the same ROH guys for a while. Like, I'd like to see the Briscoes. You don't even know how to see the Briscoes if they went to WWE or TNA, right? But the Briscoes in ROH are like the Briscoes in ROH. It's like, okay, I've seen them.
Yeah.
You know, world's greatest tag team. Okay, well, you want to go somewhere
else.
Like AJ
Styles and TNA.
Exactly, AJ and Christopher Daniels, right? It's like, okay, they're fighting again, and it's like, okay, well, good.
It's good, but it's tough for me to care so much.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Is sometimes you need to get that change of scenery, which you don't get now that you've got this, you know, wrestling landscape that we have, not the, you know, the old school territorial system and such, right? Yeah. So,
okay, and finally, is there anything you want to say about the Urban Wrestling Federation?
The Urban Wrestling Federation. You know, I watched a little bit of the Urban Wrestling Federation.
Did you?
Yeah, I caught a clip totally legally. No. and it's kind of funny. But I don't know. The one thing I noticed about the Urban Wrestling Federation is that Dixie Carter is a cunt.
Yeah. And and you know what? If anybody has no right to complain about us doing things illegal, it'd be people that are in the UWF. So, all right. I think that's it, isn't it?
I can't think of anything. I mean, tomorrow we got Raw, and, you know, it's going to be Hunter coming out to, or coming out and reviewing John Laurinaitis.
Is Laurinaitis being fired?
You know, what I'd ultimately...
You want to say it as John Laurinaitis?
You know, yeah. What I'd ultimately like to see is no decision there. I would like to see...
And that's where I think they're going. You get some comedy spots and then no decision, building the first storyline further.
Which storyline?
A bunch.
See, what I'd like to see is Hunter about, you know, is that I've been reviewing this, John. I've been looking things over, and I gotta say,
we're going back to the mystery GM.
My decision is bong.
Okay.
Right? There you go. Then let's start Mania. Right. I mean, that's what I'd like to see. Unfortunately, what it seems that we're getting now is that Mania doesn't actually start till after the Chamber.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about The Rock.
Thank God The Rock's going to have three live appearances on Raw.
Well, we were saying that...
Because they'll need that.
The first one is, the first one I've heard now is February the 27th. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite know when the chamber was. It's the 19th is the chamber, because we saw the commercial for it tonight. So, but, I mean, again, they have some things that they can do with that, so who knows. SmackDown has been a better show than Raw, so... That on Monday Night Raw, if we are going to build the chamber, at least they've got some people they can put in and have at least some sort of, you know, 1 month kind of or 3 week kind of storyline on Raw to get there.
But you know the way they build their pay per views now is that they don't build to the pay per view till the go home show.
Yeah, that's true. But at least there's 3 weeks only now.
Yeah.
Between. And I would think that...
I need to see now that they're focused on the storyline.
See, the chamber at least can be something...
Building into Mania.
See, the chamber at least... Well, you know what you do, though? Here, when you talk about it, they won't do this because it's retarded. It's retardedly easy, actually. Is Sheamus makes...
Is it red?
Sheamus,
big?
Sheamus is going to make his decision.
Yeah.
Okay. Sheamus, to me...
Where he'll decide between the world champion,
the WWE
champion, and the ECW champion.
And the Divas champion.
Oh, my mistake.
I told you, Beth Phoenix is shaking. But, to me...
Karma and Phoenix will be good.
I would hope so. Yeah. I would hope so. I said, I told you, I hope that Karma can get past Natty, though.
Somebody finally will.
Imagine, you know, the wall that she is. But... I'm thinking he's dead too. The wall.
He's dead now.
Jerry Toot or whatever.
Yeah. But he was a wrestler in the 90s. Who's no longer alive.
Yeah, I know. Weird.
Breaking news. Move on.
He was on a program. To me, you talk about on Raw this tomorrow that Sheamus will make his decision on SmackDown.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so use that to hype SmackDown. You get something out of SmackDown. Sheamus makes his mind up, you open sort of the beginning of Raw, kind of maybe shows a little bit of that. And then, so now then Sheamus ultimately picks the SmackDown champion.
Yep.
The World Heavyweight Championship to go after. Okay? So he can open WrestleMania like his predecessor, Alberto Del Rio.
Yes.
And then...
I could see that, actually.
But then you've got 2 weeks to go for the Elimination Champion. Well, now it's set to be...
Talk about Del Rio. Del Rio wasn't there. Christian, not there.
Hmm.
Ray, not there?
Well, I didn't expect Ray, but Christian,
I didn't
either.
Christian, I did.
Christian, I did, actually. Yeah, you're right. But I do think that Eugene not there.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why I feel ripped off the money.
Really, it is. It is. No Legends House people there, unless Road Dogg is going to be in it.
You can only hope.
Or Hacksaw, actually. Hacksaw might be in it.
Hacksaw might be in it.
Actually, I can see that.
All right, stay focused. What's going on? You built toward SmackDown, and...
And then Monday Night Raw, right, with 2 weeks left, you do qualifying matches to get into the chamber. And then you have a week that you know everybody in the chamber, that you can kind of do that final chamber hype for 6 days later, and away you go.
Makes sense.
Right?
That's a good way to do it.
So
how are they going to fuck it up?
Well, what they'll do is Sheamus will announce which championship he's going to go for on... The go-home show.
He'll use it on the go-home show and not challenge at Mania or the Elimination
Chamber. You know what he'll say? He'll say, you know, I got my title shot, fella, but I want to give that up for a chamber spot.
That was great when he looked at Jericho and went, come on, fella! Had a big run at.
I enjoyed when he was doing, you know how he does his punch over the chest outside the ropes there?
Yeah, the chant broke.
Well, no, yeah, he was trying, but people were counting along with him, and they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and he immediately stops, and the countdown clock to the Royal Rumble comes on, 9, 10, 10, 9, 8, 7, I'm like, that's hilarious. It's just the way to tell, I bet someone, that wasn't even the guy who wasn't even supposed to come out yet, it was probably like 52 seconds since the last guy came out, the other. Just hit it now, so they start
awesome.
Counting, it
was
funny. But it was. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. So, anyways, that is. Yeah, that would be good.
That was the Royal Rumble. That was the 2012 Royal Rumble. Overall, what do you think?
Below average would be my play overall. There was there was three or four Royal Rumble spots that made me laugh. There was the two hype videos that were really, really good. And there's not much else that I can recommend.
Unfortunately, those two hype videos, I think we're going to see those same two hype videos, like, over the next, like, 3 weeks. Like, the same one we're going to see on Raw and SmackDown. Like,
yeah, these should be played between now and Mania, minimum, if I was to make a guess, 6 times each.
I think they need other ones. Is what I mean.
They do, they do. And but the, we'll see these ones for a while.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? So, I mean, that's going to bore me. Because I've seen them now. And it's like, great. I might watch it
one more time would be good, yeah.
I'll watch it one more time, but then, yeah, no.
Hey, you want to talk a little Hall of Fame, or?
Well, Hall of Fame, what do we got? We got Edge. We've got the Horseman. And,
Yokozuna's about to be announced.
Apparently Yokozuna about to go in. So, I guess... Who inducts all of them is the question, I guess.
Edge inducted by Christian.
Well, of course. I can't.
Dusty inducts Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
Yokozuna is inducted by the Uso that didn't get to be in the Rumble as a
Jimmy. Little Jimmy.
Or both of the Usos. I don't know.
Well, that's Rikishi's kid, though.
Yeah, I know. He's like his cousin.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're all cousins.
Well, apparently it's The Rock that's going to do Yokozuna.
Because he's also his cousin.
Yes. I would have done...
They're all cousins.
Honestly, this is going to kind of... I mean, Bret Hart
when I look at those two, besides each other, those cousins, they look like the same gene pool to me.
Of Yokozuna.
Yeah. And The Rock, yeah.
Absolutely. I would have said Bret Hart for Yokozuna, maybe. Just because...
best ever match?
Well, the opponent, I guess. I mean, I guess when you think of Yokozuna, the most famous opponent you think of Yokozuna probably got to be Lex Luger, right?
I don't know about the Undertaker
as well with the casket.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not. But, I mean, Bret Hart's up there as well, right?
I could see someone like Foley doing it, even though there's no connection.
Well, no, I mean, The Rock's going to do it because of the connection. But you know who I would see doing it because it's the guy that's put Yokozuna over the best that I've ever seen that would probably be the best, which would be my choice for it, which won't happen, is actually Gerald Briscoe. No, really, I forget whatever his best superstars of the 90s and just other things where they talk about Yokozuna, and Gerald Briscoe has the most glowing things to say about Yokozuna to the point
could
where
it's Rikishi
like,
actually induct him? Is that possible?
It's possible. I mean, anything's possible, really, right? But I The Rock will do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
Cornette would be great.
The American spokesman.
Yeah, that won't happen.
No, Fuji.
Won't happen.
Ah, Yokozuna.
Okay. Well, and who else do you think might go in this year?
I was just talking about.
Be like a builder or really, really. They like to throw in a guy who's like a builder or something
talk about
in the 50s.
The Horseman, though, still. I mean,
Dylan.
I mean, Dylan's going in with them,
right? Does he represent that old school section?
No. Well, Dylan's going in with the Horseman. Who's going to induct? You're saying Dusty.
I say Dusty, yeah.
There's Blackjack. They're talking about Mulligan, right?
I think it'll be Dusty, but...
I don't think that's enough of a connection for wrestling fans.
Yeah.
You know? Hunter, of course, always, right?
I think Hunter inducted somebody last year, so I don't see him doing it again this year, but who knows?
I had said my pick for the Horseman was Kevin Nash dressed up as Arn Anderson.
Not my liver spot.
Not my dog spot. My spot. You guys got my spot in the Hall of Fame.
Actually, funny that Arn goes in before him.
No, not really. I mean, but imagine, eh? I mean, but it is what it is. I mean, but Christian and Edge is a no-brainer.
How about could somebody like Dean Malenko induct them?
You mean as a what about Mongo?
Could someone like Dean Malenko induct them?
You know, actually, no.
Because he works there, right?
Not as big.
And
enough. Not
said,
a big enough.
Everybody,
man.
Yeah, but he was a member, and he could talk about the legacy, and
he was a member.
Of members club. He's got the jacket. And he's apparently, like, the funniest guy in the world backstage, so you wouldn't have known
him. I was thinking that, too, but no, he's not a big enough name. No.
Okay.
No, Hunter's going to go, you're going to have Dean Malenko induct them and not me.
I don't know if Hunter's... Well, maybe.
I don't know. Okay, no, please finish that sentence.
All right, so who else...
to Dusty...
If Edge is not inducted by Christian, who do you think?
I mean...
John Cena.
Kane?
John Cena.
His best opponent?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Or rival?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, Kane, one of his best friends behind the scenes, right? Big Show, same thing, right? They're a really good friend. But Kane is actually...
You know who I'd like to see? Vicky.
Yeah, yeah. Rhino.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Imagine if he had to adjust the microphone.
Kurt Angle.
Imagine if he had to adjust the microphone, though. He wouldn't be able to reach it. He'd be like...
His arms are short, guys.
Can you imagine if the Funkusaurus...
Fuck, you just
keep right?
I was just about to... Oh, fuck. Anyways.
That's why the Funkusaurus can't be in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Because you get up there and he can't reach it.
That's right.
But that'd be great. No, I do think that it Christian, I mean, who else is there? There's, you know, Val Venus, right? He was married to his sister.
Yeah, is he still?
He fucked somebody else.
I don't think he still is.
Hello, ladies. No, but I don't think they're really.
And who else would that somebody be? Could that person induct him?
You think Lita?
Possible.
Matt Hardy?
Nope.
You don't think so?
You have to get out of jail first.
He is out of jail. He's taking indie bookings now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he works for Grapes.
Good to see he's turned his life around.
They're great. But I don't know. I think that. I mean, with Christian, that's a no-brainer to me. So, I mean, I'd stop kind of thinking about that. With the Horsemen, again, you get Dusty, you get Lex Luger. And
no fucking
you
Lex
get,
Luger.
No, but I'm thinking, like, WCW babyfaces from the 80s is really all that should happen, right? But Dusty, to me, is the best choice.
Yeah, I guess.
But you can't discount Hunter.
No, you can't.
No.
No.
Yoko said, to me, Bret Hart is the guy that I would pick.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows?
Oh, how about Earthquake?
Earthquake.
They had that feud.
Oh, yeah. How about Hacksaw?
They had that feud. Hacksaw seems more likely than Earthquake.
He does, doesn't he? You know? Hacksaw born on July 17th, right? So, you know, his astrological sign. He's a Cancer.
Nice. All right. Anything else you want
to
talk about?
Hacksaw has had cancer. He beat it.
Yeah, he did.
So he's better than Earthquake.
That's right. That's Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com.
ADDIE. But I think... So who else? You talk about who else would you induct?
Like I said, typically you see there's somebody who's like an old promoter or somebody who's like a 50s star, like Gorgeous George or whatever.
So what about,
the next woman to be inducted? You mentioned Sable would probably be the next woman.
The other thing is that, I would say Sable only because then you have the Brock buzz, right? Mrs. Lesnar gets inducted.
Yep.
And then that builds a bit of the Rock buzz around, right? Buzz, right? So that, to me, plus it gives, I mean, Brock would go with Sable there, presumably, right? So it'd at least give him a chance to talk. So they'd essentially be inducting Sable.
Well, you had mentioned that the idea is that Hunter wins again. That's announced as Undertaker's last match. He goes out to say goodbye the next night and gets jumped from the night after Mania by Brock, and he's gone for a year. Until build up the next match against Brock the next year. But that's how you would do it, something like that, right?
Well, I would do it. I mean, I wouldn't even do it. Well, you said him. Like, I would do career versus streak with Michaels, of course, as the ref. I just think that's the...
For Hunter.
For Hunter. Hunter's career versus the streak.
Of course, Hunter will run
the
answer.
Well, that's fine. But you do that, Yeah, Taker wins. The next night on Raw, then Brock jumps Taker, sets up the match for next year, and Taker's not seen again until next year's Mania. But you have, again, just like they did with Cena and Rock with the year match out, you do the same thing with, you know, assuming they're going to deem it a success. A lot of this is going to be based on what are they thinking March 26th.
Yeah.
Has this year-long Cena-Rock build been a success?
But
match announcement, because they didn't build it consistently. But, I mean, was announcing this match a year out a good idea? And if we can do that again for Undertaker and Brock, then we'll do that. But if they don't think it's a good idea on March 20th, they're not going
to
do it.
Well, it's a good idea. The build has to be good.
I think so.
The build has to be good. No.
Well,
like I said, I think the idea is Brock comes out, beats him up, bloodies him. Yes, do it. Beats him up, bloodies him.
Yeah.
Then takes that microphone and that heel Brock voice said, so, you asked if we're going to do this thing? No. Drops the microphone, walks out. Don't see either one of them for a long time.
Yeah.
The anticipation for when that match happens will be through the roof.
Yeah. As far as
an old guy, I can see like a Larry Matisick, someone like that, as like an old promoter.
Well, he's not a promoter though. He was an announcer. It would have been Sam Mushnick.
Sam Mushnick, my mistake. Yeah, Sam Mushnick.
Yeah.
I can see Sam Mushnick as an old promoter going.
Yeah, I look at. See, they used to do when they did the promoter. They haven't done. I mean, like, how many promoters are in other than Vince's dad? And I was old. But how many promoters are actually in? You talk about the builders. I mean, like Eddie Graham is in, but that was last time when it was in, what do you call it there?
The Von Erich family.
Yes, in Texas.
Sue Hart.
Yeah, that was in Phoenix, and that was so. But that was again. You talk about when they do these things. I mean,
AWA. What's his name?
Vern. Okay. When you talk about these things, everything happens for a reason. Okay, and the reasons aren't consistent. So the reason, you know, Vern went in because they had an AWA DVD to hawk. Okay? Same Bockwinkel went in. Same reason. Right? They had a very AWA-heavy induction that year.
Yeah.
Because they had the
DVD.
Well,
this is why they're talking about the Horsemen.
They had the DVD, yeah, and they're talking about another Horsemen DVD, right?
Yeah.
But Stu went in because Brett's back.
Yeah.
Okay? For the first time since 97, right?
Yeah.
So that's why Stu went in. The Von Erichs and the Eddie Graham went in because of the local area that they were doing.
Yeah.
Von Erichs to Texas, Eddie Graham because of Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. They're in Florida again. Okay, you don't induct Frank Tunney in Florida.
True.
Right? So when you're talking about builder or promoter, I mean, I look more as who's the manager to go in. Who's left as a manager that is...
It's Jimmy Hart's not in, is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in.
So you have managers...
Leck isn't in.
No, that's true. You have managers that aren't in the WWF history that aren't in. People like a Gary Hart.
I was going to say, Gary Hart's the one that comes to mind. But I'm trying to think of...
Sonny Ono isn't in.
Really? Huh. You know who also isn't in that should be in? Hard Work Bobby Walker.
Number one, Paul Jones.
Number one, Paul Jones. The Boogie Woogie. But I think, Paul Jones was a manager too, right?
Yeah.
Abby, right? So, but I mean, I look at Abu Wiesel not in. No, but who do you...
Jared Foley not in.
Why in the hell not?
I know.
He hasn't kicked someone in the nuts for that. But I'm trying to think of a realistic, you know, you Heenan's in, Jimmy Hart is in, Freddie Blassie is in, Grand Wizard is in, J.J. Dillon about to go in.
Yeah.
Not that I mean J.J. Dillon.
Technically,
Road Warriors. Paul Ellering, went in as well. But, I mean, those guys, I mean, and Paul Ellering did manage other people like that Legion of Doom that he had with Jake and all that, But when I look at J.J. Dillon really didn't manage, you know, a lot of people outside that Horseman or that he was really famous for doing. I'm just trying to think of other kind of names that...
you already have somebody... Like, they're very political on how they do this. They're trying... They like to get a celebrity, if they can. They like to get one woman, or one person...
Well, that's why I say Sable. To me, it's Sable.
Yeah, one woman, one person of a minority group. Maybe one tag team. Yeah.
Well, who's more minority than a Samoan Japanese guy?
Exactly.
Maybe Camacho can induct him.
If they were to do a tag team, who would you put in?
Bushwhackers.
That would work, actually.
Yeah, it probably would, but I wouldn't do it.
No, me either.
A tag team to go in, again, it's tough because, you know who I would put in, honestly, at this point, as a tag team, is Demolition.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I would put in Demolition. I'm just trying to think of, you know, but in terms of individuals now, because I'm starting to think of who is worthy of going in that. And who
could they put in, like a Pat Connor or something like that from the past?
Well, Pat O'Connor, but I mean, you don't do that in Florida, right?
So who's somebody?
I mean, Funks are in, right? Briscoes are in.
Yeah.
Dusty's in.
Yeah.
Horsemen are going in. And to me, Horsemen are the Florida, right? Horseman's that southern connection.
Yeah.
Mil Máscaras, of course, right? Said they were going to put in Mil Máscaras. Do you put Carlos Colon in this year?
No, you never put him in.
What?
Bruiser Brody.
I didn't say Rey Gonzalez.
Carlos Colon. You can't separate Rey Gonzalez, Carlos Colon, and Bruiser Brody. So for me, he would never go.
Okay. Do you put Bruiser Brody in?
Yes.
Okay, they won't.
They talk about it.
Not this year.
I don't think they will.
But what I'd be looking at is then do you put in? I said we're talking Demolition. I'm like Rick Martel. You know, is this a good year
Rick Martel,
for Rick
perfect.
Martel?
Yeah.
Is this a good year for Jacques Rougeau? Yokozuna is dead, which is why I don't put the British Bulldogs in.
No.
This year. But,
they won't have a second dead person, like I say. I think a tag team, I really think they might go with a tag team.
Again, Demolition is good. Yeah. The Rock and Roll Express.
I don't see that one.
It just... One of those things. I mean, I don't see that only because then that becomes too NWA heavy with the Horsemen and the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they did, that very AWA heavy year as well, right?
That's true. But,
there's lots of, things. I mean, we haven't talked about, the Horsemen going in and just, I mean, what that proves...
That almost is your tag team already, also.
Well, but what that proves, the Horsemen going in, proves just what a non...
You have a Noki in, right?
Yes.
So could you do somebody else like that? A Giant Baba, something like that?
Yeah, you could. I mean, I don't know that you... I mean, but to me, if you've got Mil Máscaras to do that, right? Mil Máscaras kind of covers that. An international guy... That not a lot of people know about, which is why I said I threw out Carlos Colon there only because they're in Hawaii, but not really. I mean, Mil Máscaras does the same.
They're in Hawaii? Who's in Hawaii?
They're not Hawaii. Sorry, Miami.
Okay.
But it does the same thing. Mil Máscaras and Carlos Colon, right? So I mean, that does the same as Inoki. So that's your international guy.
Yeah.
There. So I mean. I think at this point, now that you've got the Horsemen, you've got Edge, and you've got Mil Máscaras and Yokozuna, I think there you throw in two 80s WWF guys, and there's your class, because you've got four guys going in at once, or five guys going in at once, right? So if they each talk for 7 minutes, as Flair has said,
so yeah, you put in
35 minutes right there.
You put in a Rick Martel or Jake Roberts or...
No, Jake Roberts is too big a star.
Yeah, maybe.
You put in Rick Martel, and I said you could put in Jacques Rougeau. You could put in...
I don't think you go put in Jacques Rougeau. I think of him as a tag team guy, largely.
The Mountie?
Yeah, I still think of him as a tag team
guy. I know.
Think of who else is an 80s star. Who else had that?
It's funny, though. You think of Jacques Rougeau as a tag team guy, but not Rick Martel.
No, I don't.
I know. But probably, if you look at the span of his WWF career, just as much of a tag team guy as Jacques Rougeau. With Martel, Martel and Gurria. You had the Can-Am Connection. You had Strike
Force.
Which was
like 3 months.
You had the Strike Force. And then you had the model run.
Yeah.
And the Mountie run was probably just as long as the model run. And then he had the fabulous Rougeau brothers, and he had the Quebecers.
Yeah.
You know, I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. But it just, when you actually look at it.
Within the WWE,
it's
sure,
comparable,
but,
yeah.
But Martel also had the AWA Championship.
He did, yeah. That's true. That's true.
With that, so.
That's true.
I'm just trying to think of who else.
And Hanson.
I'm trying to think of who else is an 80s WWE star who fits. I'm trying to think of.
That's
who
alive.
Else is, yeah, that's
is
alive.
Is the problem, right?
Yeah, that is the problem. I was like, Big Box? No.
I'm going through.
No.
No, I know. I'm going through guys in, like, the WrestleMania 4, you know, like Butch Reed. What about
Ron Simmons?
They
already have a person of color. And Yokozuna, they likely would. They don't. They want to save their minorities they can put in.
Yeah, but
Ron.
Because
they don't
but,
have
but,
that
but,
many. And they want to look.
What was
so,
Ron Simmons though? What was he? A Seminole? Or did? Yeah.
Actually, he was. You're right. He was.
He didn't play for the University of Miami.
No, he
is
did
what
not
I'm
play
saying.
For the University
so that's
of Miami.
Why I'm wondering if they would do that.
The Rock could induct him though.
That's true with the Nation.
How about Bradshaw?
Going in?
Yeah.
Yeah, not now, though.
No? Too big?
Too big, yeah. Fuck, we'd love to have you, Bradshaw, but, you know, we've already got Rick Martel, so.
Well, I'm just thinking, maybe, he's probably at the same level as,
Joey Styles could induct him.
He's probably as big a level as Ted DiBiase, as far as
money?
Headliner.
Oh.
And money, he's bigger.
Yeah. No, but I know what you mean, and he's not as big as Ted DiBiase. I disagree there, but
A comparison can be made, though. You know what I mean?
Well, I know what you mean.
If DiBiase could headline, then Bradshaw possibly could
do
an off year.
No. I in a way off year,
or at least second from the top. So you don't put him in this year where he's going to be third from the top or lower.
Well, that exactly. And with Bradshaw, I think to me Bradshaw is. Bradshaw's a mid-card, you know, Hall of Famer at this point. I mean, of course, we're tiptoeing around the obvious. We talked about Eve wants to give you one for every one, is if you need a little excitement, snap into it. It's too late for that.
He has to be the guy, the headliner. He's the main event.
Yes, the icon.
The showstopper.
And by that, we all are talking about Angelo Poffo.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like I say, who had the IC belt in the 80s? Or challenged for it. Honky's not going in. He doesn't want to go in still.
I know.
How about Bob fucking Backlund?
Well, there is Bobby. But I think Bob Backlund, and if I look at next year, they're talking about another Northeast, like that New Jersey stadium going in. Again, I mean, you put Bobby in when more people around are going to know about him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That.
Like when you talk about Edge, or you talk about the Million Dollar Man.
How about Brutus Beefcake?
See, you talk about the Barber, and I thought about the Barber, but you know who has to induct him, right?
Yeah, and Greg Valentine.
Exactly. Johnny V, I was going to say. But I was actually thinking, Sal Ranallo. The world famous guy that Brutus Beefcake got his hair plaque from.
Is Lord Alfred Hayes in the hall?
You know, I don't know. I do know, and he's not. And William Regal could induct him, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Actually, you know who would induct him? Sergeant Slaughter would induct him, Super Destroyer Mark II.
And you know what? Even though he is dead, he's not dead from premature death because of...
No, he's old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He died. So I think you could see him. I think that kind of would fill a void.
That's true. And you know, the only reason I wouldn't put Lord Alfred Hayes in so far is because they don't have a television clearance yet for this, right? So once you get a television clearance, you put Lord Alfred Hayes in, and then we would know who promotional consideration is paid for.
By the following. I saw where you're going.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to get there, but I saw where you're going.
But I do think that, this is, again, there's lots of possibilities. I think that right now we're looking at two mid-card WWE.
If you were
WWE
to pick one person for Diamond Dallas Page to induct in the entire world, who would that be?
For Diamond Dallas Page to induct? Oh, shit. That's tough. Who's not already in, though, is the thing, right?
That's the thing. Because I would just love to see PvP there.
You know, if, see, it's really tough. Because, I mean, you look at guys that he ran with, right? Like, you think, like, maybe the Outsiders. Well, no, Hunter's fucking inducting them, right? Or Sean.
Yeah.
Right? And they're not going in together, probably. They're going in individually, right? It's Diesel and Razor and Sean and Hunter are the ones that are inducting them individually, right? But, well, actually, you know what? I could see, if I did it, actually, if you did that and you were going to do a click here, where X-Pac goes in too, right? Then, like, Sean inducts, or the Hunter inducts X-Pac, Sean inducts Diesel, and then DDP inducts the Diamond Stud, right?
Yeah. How about DDP inducts Savage?
Well, see, that's where I was kind of going with that, but then, because, yeah, who inducts Savage? Right?
DDP.
But
that'd be awesome.
But what if they're doing it the way that they're talking about it playing out, where it's the Poffo family?
Still DDP.
Exactly, because the genius has to, you know, accept. Here, you know, if I'm Vince McMahon, is this the year as the manager I induct the genius?
No.
You sure?
Yeah. How about Marty Jannetty?
What if behind the scenes...
I'm serious, what about Marty Jannetty?
Who? You think DDP should induct Marty
Jannetty? No, I'm just saying going in.
No.
I think DDP... I actually think DDP should induct everybody.
DDP should induct Jake.
Yeah. Or he can induct Honky Tonk Man because he drove him to the ring.
That's true.
WrestleMania 6.
And you know what? And Greg Valentine is still pissed at that. Because he drove too fast. He's like, fuck, it takes me 45 minutes just to get warmed up. And this guy's driving.
High five! Took us forever to get there. We got there, folks.
But no, I don't know. Like, when you're talking about... but the dirty pool I'm looking at there is that if they induct a genius this year, then the whole Poffo family is...
I don't see it.
No, but I'm just thinking, if Lanny is going to be Lanny and is going to talk about this fucking Poffo family thing, right?
Yeah.
And then if Vince says, well, go in, I mean, I don't think Lanny will now that he's gone on the record, because he seems like kind of a stubborn guy to me.
So what do you think about Marty Jannetty going in?
I don't think he should.
Okay.
I don't think Marty... I mean, if he does... It will be an excuse. Again, we talk about everything happening for a reason with those promoters going in.
An excuse to Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all it is. And I think you've got better. Cool. But right now.
You don't think he should? Coco Beware's in.
No, I know. But
Drew Carey's in.
But right
what
now.
What if a celebrity could go in?
Mr. T.
We need. But, yeah, probably Mr. T. Like, you need a celebrity about the level of Drew Carey. Or lower.
What do you mean, or lower? No, Mr. T. See, I was up when they were in Detroit for that Mania in Ford Field. That's when Muhammad Ali goes in.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
But, you know, but Vince thought that was a question, or that induction he thought was shaky. But... I'm trying to think of anybody...
You know who should induct him? Michael J. Fox.
There you are, see? There you go. But I think that... and it was, you know what? You want to talk about... My Life with Mikey or whatever, a movie with Michael J. Fox? And they went to a wrestling show. I don't remember who was wrestling, but it was somebody I'd heard. It was like the Bushwhacker or something. But, I don't know, like...
How about Zeus?
Zeus, yeah, see? Star of Batman and such. But, I still think we're looking at two 80s WWF guys as the remaining two, because, again, you have five guys in one. So really, right now, we know six people are being inducted, seven with Mil Máscaras, eight with Yokozuna,
Yeah, I like that Rick Martel. I'm locked in on Rick Martel.
That would be 10, though. Rick Martel and somebody else would be 10 people in total.
Yeah, I'm looking for that one other 80 star who is alive and is
and I right. think if you do Demolition, that's 11.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I can see Demolition, like you say. Or,
I'd like to see Demolition, personally. Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, what do you do? It's not the Killer Bees.
Is Jimmy Snuka in? He's got to be in.
Oh, of course. He went in like, 96.
Yeah.
It's not the Killer Bees. It's not the Young Stallions. You saying it's not the Rougeau Brothers. I don't think it should be the Rougeau Brothers. I think just the Mountie goes in. It's not...
Paul Levesque. Or no, Paul Lafitte. Or what? The Pirate.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte. Jean-Pierre Ouellette. Jean...
Carl Ouellette.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amazing French Canadian.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I thought he would induct Kevin Nash.
Oh, I don't think that's happening.
For those who don't know, Pierre refused to lose to Nash when he was Diesel in a Quebec house show and got very tired.
Pinko Bundy in?
No, and that's someone to go in for sure.
That would be perfect.
That actually would be the guy.
Go
You're
with
right.
Martel and Bundy.
Yeah. All
right, we've done it. We've booked it for you.
Booked.
Now, WWE, all you have to do is send us a check.
Who inducts Bundy?
Can't be Heenan.
Oh, no, it's too bad. Patera?
Nah, I don't think so.
Can't be Andre.
You know who it could be? You're going to laugh at me.
Stud? Can't be Stud.
You know who it could be? You're going to think this is weird, but Brodus Clay.
Hmm. Is Little Beaver still alive?
Oh, yeah, I see a Little Beaver all over the place.
Yes.
High five!
Bob Uecker's in. I'm just trying to think, you know, Bundy, but I'm just trying to think of somebody, you know, like, you know, obviously not going to be Hogan. What about Special Delivery Jones? He did Tony Atlas when he went in.
Makes sense.
Really, it does. I mean... Other than I'm trying to think of Mania opponents, and it was just that and Hillbilly Jim, who wasn't in the Royal Rumble like I had hoped.
Yeah. You and you.
Shit.
Both that.
Fuck.
Yeah, well, you know what? It would have been an excuse to hear that great fucking song.
Well, that's what I was hoping. And then, I mean, he did so well in the WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, who else in another territory, like where Bundy might have been, could induct him?
Jerry Lawler.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, actually, you know?
I don't see that one.
No, I don't either, but Lawler could.
Yeah, Lawler, I could see Lawler for sure.
What about if you want to do a... If they talk about inducting celebrities, what about Ed O'Neill? Not being the inductor of King Kong Bundy on Married with Children.
Possible.
I mean, fucking...
If they could get him.
Captain Kirk... Fucking inducted Jerry Lawler. That's what made me think about it, right?
Yeah,
and Ed O'Neill, one of the stars of that Modern Family show. It's very popular, and that has a connection from The Chaperone. And the other chick is in the Rocks movie, that Journey too, right? So one would be successful, probably.
Yeah, so it's almost a sure thing.
You know what? Just why haven't they announced it yet? I bet you if I go to WWE.com right now, I'm expecting to find it.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Well, Al Bundy, King Kong Bundy, it all makes sense.
It all makes sense.
Fucking...
It all makes sense. All right, anything else you want to talk about?
Dixie Carter's a cunt.
And what's her theme song?
Hmm? Look in my eyes, what do you see? A cunt of personality.
And that really is all we have to say about TNA. So, I think we're done, right?
That's it. We've talked about the Hall of Fame a little bit. We talked about the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania about to begin, and the road to WrestleMania about to begin. Who knows where it's going to go now that Sheamus has won the Rumble. So.
We'll just probably say that, you know, we put up those 89 shows, and we have this show, and I'm not sure when the next show is coming. It's not like we're in a back to a regular schedule, but every now and then we'll talk some wrestling. We are going to talk about 1997. 1992 in depth, and probably do some more as we lead towards Mania. Something probably will probably happen, but
well, some things are going to be good. I mean, again, right now we've kind of muddied the waters, and we're going to see what's going to happen tomorrow on Raw, with they said the only thing really announced is that Johnny Laurinaitis Triple H deal. So who knows? Again, what's going to happen with you know, we get to the Elimination Chamber and then we get into full blown kind of Rock mode. So you know, we'll do the 1997 at least. We're going to talk about some current stuff, but. Yeah,
1997 will be awesome to talk about that, though.
Oh, that's
great. Just, if you enjoyed the 89 shows, and if you didn't listen to them, you should. They're fucking great.
But I love 1989. Was probably my favorite year. So,
but 97's got to be up there, right? So that's awesome too.
That's what I said, isn't it?
No, you said 89.
Oh, 97 is actually my favorite year.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, but both are great years. So.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but yeah. Also, yes, I mean, we're on Podomatic and We Talk Wrestling, but also go to WeTalkPodcast.com. There's stuff over there.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, to if you're listening, I mean, you want to go all the see all the shows, I think the best place to go is WeTalkWrestling.Podomatic.com is where you get all the shows. And then it's Addy, as we said, at WeTalkWrestling.com, Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com, if you'd like to email us. And
I say, there's we got other shows going up. We had a fantasy football show in the past, and we did some comic book talk, and we got a music show actually going up, and we got I don't know, other shit. Some movies, going to talk En Bloc and all those movies, all those great, you ever seen that? You ever seen that movie, En Bloc?
Wasn't that a Hanson song? En Bloc, dip, 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 En Bloc, yeah.
Now I'm going to have that in my head for the rest of the fucking night.
In the meantime, and in between time.
I just want to say this, actually, because I had a good friend. And,
no, you didn't.
And I hate to go out on a serious note, but he had a serious injury, unfortunately. He lost his left arm, and he also lost his left leg. But don't worry, he's all right now. O-U-T.
So is he going to, did he get, like,
he's all
amputated,
right now. He lost his left leg. But now he's all right.
Did he get like an amputee thing, or is he a war amp? Like, what's the deal? What? How did he lose him?
Play safe.
How did he lose him?
Play safe.
Does he know Zonta, the robot?
Gotta go take a piss, Addy.
She can take his arm right off, but you can't. So play safe. All right. Well, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.